Now, did you ever notice that the Bible is at least sometimes difficult to understand? I had a request for someone needed. She told me she needed a study Bible really bad because she was having trouble with it. So we got her a study Bible. But there are some parts, I've discovered this over the years, there are just some parts of the book that are harder than other parts of the book to understand. There are times when even the best of us need help to figure out what the Word of God is trying to say to us. And quite honestly, the passage of Scripture that Paul just read to you from the Gospel of Luke is, in my opinion, one of the most difficult passages of Scripture to understand, particularly that part about the vultures at the end. I mean, it's like, what? Okay? So today, if the sermon seems a bit tedious, okay, just sort of bear with me a little bit. What I want you to know is that the tedium is worth it. Because the lessons that this hard-to-understand passage of Scripture teach are well worth learning. The first thing that you need to understand in order to appreciate the passage of Scripture that was set before you is that in it, Jesus addresses two significantly different audiences. First, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. Now, as you make your way through the Gospel of Luke, you can't help but discover the Pharisees. They are like there over and over again. And each time we encounter them, I remind you that they were the conservative religious leaders of the community of Judaism in Jesus' day. I suspect that had I lived then and been a Jew, I'd have been a Pharisee. Okay? I think it. Okay? They spent their time studying the law, okay, the law of Moses. And they attempted with all of their heart to live the law of Moses. But they did not approve of Jesus because he taught things contrary to the things they had been taught and trained to believe and teach. They were constantly trying to expose Jesus as a fraud because they truly believed that they needed to expose him so that stupid, ordinary people who don't understand the Scriptures like most of us would not fall into the trap of believing that Jesus was the Messiah. That's the Pharisees. They were determined, okay, to keep people from believing in Jesus. But they were sincere in what they were doing because they believed that it was wrong to believe in Jesus. Now, here's what I want you to know. When you are committed to something sincerely, it's hard to let it go. Okay? It can get in the way of all kinds of things. It can prevent you from seeing the truth. And that's where the Pharisees were. In today's passage, they are the first audience that Jesus addresses. But after he speaks to them, he then speaks directly to his disciples. Now, not the apostles, but the disciples. Remember that the apostles are the 12 people in the world who were closest to Jesus, the ones he selected to lead the disciples. The disciples are a larger group of people who are encouraged by him and who are attempting to figure out what it is that he's talking about so that they can do what the Pharisees are doing when it comes to the law of Moses, live according to the teachings of Jesus. What we here at Cornerstone encourage people to do is to become disciples of Jesus Christ. I had a question the other day about the office of apostle. Okay, and somebody wanted to know how come there's so many preachers who are rising up and declaring themselves to be apostles. Wasn't that office closed? My response is, yes, the office of apostle was limited to those people who were physically present with the physically alive Jesus in that first century. The office closed after their death. There is no one who is worthy of that office today, and yet Jesus calls us to make disciples even now. So the second audience that Jesus addresses is the group of disciples. Now, are you ready? Jesus teaches the Pharisees different things than he teaches his disciples. Now you're saying, okay, that makes sense, but why is it important? See, here's the deal. It's going to sound hard. Jesus does not cast pearls before swine. He does not share the deep, intricate secrets of the kingdom of God with the Pharisees because the Pharisees are not disposed to listen to what Jesus has to say. However, he does share these deep secrets with his disciples because they are listening. Lesson number one from today's text. You ready? If you want to know the deep things of God, you must be prepared to listen to God. Or if you want it the other way, if you are not listening to God, do not expect to hear from God. It's that simple. There are many people in our culture today, many of who will come here this afternoon when we open the doors for Lee's funeral. There will be many people who come here who are not able to hear what it is God says because indeed they have resolved in their own minds and in their own hearts not to listen for the word of God. And the scripture teaches that if you're not listening, you're probably not going to hear. Now, that's what the Holy Spirit does, folks. He knocks at the heart of people who are not listening. He knocks at the door of their heart. Go look at Jesus standing in the corner playing the role of the Holy Spirit, knocking at that door over there in that photograph that stands in the back of the church to remind us that that's what he does. But there's no latch on the outside of the door. He can't open it and come in from outside. You have to open it and invite him to come in from inside. But if you're not listening for the knock, you're not even going to know that Jesus is standing at the door of your heart. He teaches those who are listening deep things that he does not reveal to those who are not listening. I'm going to just give you a little advice here. You ready? You want to start listening to what God has to say? You need to make sure you are reading the Bible. Okay, I'm sorry, but you don't read it, you're going to miss the deep things of the kingdom of God. That's where they are. Okay, now if you're really sincere about it, you're going to start attending a class that deals with the stuff of the Bible. They're called ABFs. They happen around here every Sunday morning between the worship services, and there's one for you. Okay, if you're serious about it, you're going to do it. And if you're really, truly, truly serious, you're going to join a spiritual growth group. Now, I know that spiritual growth groups have gotten a bad rap this winter. And people have been saying, all you do in spiritual growth group is gossip. And I want people who go to spiritual growth group who know that's not true to stand up right now. Yeah. Because it's not true, and that's not what happens in a spiritual growth. In a spiritual growth group, we learn to apply the Word of God. You can sit down. Thank you. The point is, if you're really serious, you're going to do it. It is the plan which God has given to us to help us listen, meaning Cornerstone, help us listen to his word. You need to be in worship on Sunday, you need to be attending an ABF, and you need to be in a spiritual growth group. And God will speak to you. I know he will. He'll speak because you are listening. Okay? First lesson. Now, the Pharisees, in the text that was read to you today, did indeed ask Jesus a question. And Jesus did indeed respond to their question by giving them an on-the-surface answer. Now, here's the deal. You ready? Jesus responds to those who ask. If you ask him a question, he is going to answer it. Okay, now, I'm going to go back a bit here. The dilemma is, you may be sitting there going, because you're not prepared to hear the answer, even the on-the-surface answer. You may not hear Jesus speaking and answer your questions because in truth, you already know, you have determined what answer you want, and you are not listening. But he will answer if you ask. Knock, and it shall be opened to you, it says. Ask, and you shall receive. So he does respond to the question. The dilemma is that the Pharisees do not really have a genuine interest to hear what Jesus says in answer to their question. Do you ever notice how religious people like to talk about religious things sometimes? I mean, the same old worn out, tired things like, can you lose your salvation? I get so tired of hearing that question. You know what? Don't take any risk. Okay? Maybe the reason the question is never finally answered is because God is saying, don't risk it. Cling to it and stop talking about it. Okay? Do you ever notice in the Bible, it talks about how they all the time want to talk about how many angels you can get on the head of a pin. Okay, I think we've kind of given that one up. Okay, but we do have these discussions about angels all the time. Okay, you know what? They exist. Okay, they're there to do the bidding of God in your life. Hey, accept it. Okay, get over it. Move on. Okay, well, one of the Pharisees' favorite topics of religious discussion was the kingdom of God and when it would come. So on the day in question, they decide, okay, let's ask Jesus. Now, they think they already know the answer, but they say to Jesus, okay, when is the kingdom of God going to come? And Jesus responded to them by saying, you'll excuse me for this, but he did it. You theological dummies. The kingdom of God is already here. And you done missed it. The NIV, New International Version, the version from which Paul read, translates Jesus' answer to them, the kingdom of God is within you. But if you know Greek, you know that's not a good translation of what Jesus actually said. He said, the kingdom of God is in your midst. The kingdom of God is in your midst. He was there. When he spoke the words, he was standing in their midst. He was, he is the kingdom of God. And he was sent to earth to proclaim the presence of the kingdom of God in their midst. And they neither recognized him nor understood what God had sent him to earth to do because they were not listening. And ever since, he's here, proclaiming the presence of the kingdom of God in our midst. So many people who simply refuse to believe that Jesus is indeed who he said he was. The representative of the kingdom of God who stands in our midst. Lesson number 2 from today's text comes to you in the form of a question. Do you know who Jesus is today? Do you know why Jesus is here today? He was sent from the kingdom of God to establish for you the presence of the kingdom of God here and now in your life. He was sent that you might know the kingdom of God alive and be in the midst of the kingdom even while you live here on earth. What a joy. What a peace is mine when I know that Jesus Christ is here. So many people. Still today, there are so many Pharisees among us who will not believe, who are not
listening.
But then, folks, Jesus turned to his disciples, those who were truly seeking to know about the kingdom of God and to understand its deep secrets. And that day, he began to tell them the deeper truths about the kingdom of God and when it would fully come. Now, here's the deal. You got to hang with me here. We live in the kingdom of God because we live in the presence of Jesus. I am not living in this world. Christians don't live here. Okay? We am passing through. This is not my home, says the Bible. I'm on my way to a far better place. I am just traveling to those pearly gates, and they will someday open, and then I will fully enter the kingdom of God. And all of you can come with me if you will believe in Jesus Christ. It's real simple. I know it in part, but the day is coming when I will be fully in the presence of Jesus Christ. That's the joy of knowing Lee today, is that he is at last present, fully present before God. He stands by the throne, praising God with all the host of heaven and the angels themselves. Imagine, he's hearing that heavenly choir sing praises to God. Now, what Jesus explains to the disciples is when that's going to happen, when we will fully be in the kingdom of God. He explained the secrets, some of the secrets of the kingdom. Number one, secret number one, the kingdom of God would not always be present in his physical person. He who was and is the presence representative, the kingdom of God, was going to go away. He didn't want them to be caught by surprise. He wanted them to know before he left that he would have to suffer many things. He would endure many things and go away. He would, in fact, and I repeat the words, in fact, he would, in fact, historically, in fact, he would be killed by the religious leaders of his day, the very persons who were not listening to him at that moment of time and were paying no attention to the deep secrets he was telling the disciples, who didn't hear a thing, they would kill him. And he would, in fact, emphasize again the words in fact, he would, in fact, lay dead in the tomb for 3 entire days. And then he would, in fact, rise up from the dead. And following his resurrection, he would return to the glorious kingdom of God. So that the manifestation of the kingdom of God that was in the physical person of Jesus Christ, that was in their midst that day, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would not always be here to represent the kingdom as he was then in physical form. He explained in other parts of the scripture that when he had gone back to the kingdom of God, he would send us a helper, the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul explained to us that the coming of that Holy Spirit would be the guarantee, the seal, that Jesus Christ had indeed endured all of the things I mentioned, in fact, and was at last returned to the right hand of the glory of God. He, the Holy Spirit, in our lives, is the present assurance that the kingdom of God is still here among us today. Jesus said, secret number two, that when he returned to the kingdom, people would be constantly proclaiming to the entire earth that he was here and that he was there. We just went through it. Remember dear old Harold Camping. He's a-coming. Okay? Jesus said, don't bother chasing it. When he decides to come, you'll know he's here. Okay? He said that even though they're constantly saying he's here, he's here, he's here, don't pay any attention to life. He warned us that life would go on as it always had. gave us two examples in his teaching to the disciples that day. One was Noah. He's saying, boy, they were going on like life had no ending, wondering why Noah's building that big boat. Okay, what in the man was wrong with that crazy old guy? A kook. Okay? And so they did. Everything they always did, just exactly the way they did it. They were not listening for the voice of God. They were living life their way until the very day that the rain started. And then they were banging on the outside of the boat, believe me. Points out Lot. Says the same thing happened. They were not listening for the voice of God. So they did not know that the moment of destruction was upon them. They didn't understand that God was tired of their behavior and that they were at the moment of judgment. They didn't know until the fire and brimstone fell. Now, just a little aside, this is a scary moment in the history of this nation because we are no longer listening for the voice of God. We do not believe that what's happening to us in nature is a symbol of God's judgment. We currently, this day, right now, have the largest forest fire in the history of our nation burning out of control. They tell me it's raining on it today, but it is so large that the rain is not even putting it out. Okay, the scripture predicts that at the end of time, a third of the world will be destroyed by fire. It doesn't say it's all going to happen at once, but we thought that. We thought it's going to be one big fire, but maybe not. Maybe it's a lot of little fires that burn up a whole third of the world. Are we listening for the moment when God will say the kingdom is at hand? Or are we missing it? Do we go on eating and drinking, giving in marriage and being married just like they did in the days of Noah and the days of Lot? And when it finally falls, will we be the ones who are banging on the outside of the ark saying, let us in, let us in? Will we miss the sign? On the appointed day, folks, secret number whatever. I lost count. On the appointed day, Jesus will return. And the whole lesson, the whole implication behind that is you need to start listening to the Word of God. You need to get ready. Said Jesus, remember Lot's wife. Okay? She was reluctant to let it go. She was determined that she was going to stay in the world. She was going to do it her way. She looked back to see if it was really happened because she wasn't convinced. And she became part of the destruction. And in the meantime, secret number four, people will be divided by Jesus. There will be those who believe and those who do not believe. Families will be divided because of him. And only those who accept Jesus as his Messiah and as Savior and who serve him as the Lord of their life will enter into the kingdom of God. The day of his return will mark the great division caused by the name of Jesus. Some will enter in, and some will be shut out because they would not listen. And then Jesus said, last secret, do not be surprised. All of this is certain. He said, you ready? Where there is a dead body, vultures gather. It is that certain. You leave it lay out there long enough, and the vultures will come. It will happen. All of it. Without any doubt, it will happen. So to you today, Jesus has chosen to reveal the great truths about the kingdom of God. Think about it. Should you not feel honored? It is here in our midst now. For the Holy Spirit is present to confirm the kingdom of God here now. But Jesus is coming to earth again. And when he comes, the sky will roll back and the trumpet will sound. And those who believe on his name will be welcomed fully into his kingdom. You have heard the truth. Listen to the word of God. Today, choose to live for Jesus.